All right, welcome in to the final edition of the Game Blitz for 2022. We could not be more excited about bringing you this show tonight on the big Thanksgiving weekend because we got high school football and semifinals tonight. It's bittersweet because it is our last show, but my goodness, we've had such a fun time this year. I can't thank all the coaches and the reporters who've called in all year long to bring you the very best in high school football coverage here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's been simply fantastic. We got another great night tonight. We got Middle Tennessee teams who are in the semifinals. One win away from going to the Blue Cross Bowl next week down in Chattanooga. So we'll get you all covered, up to date on all that stuff right there. As we do at the beginning of the show, let's bring in my good friend Elijah Campbell tonight. And Elijah, you are the guru of high school football and stats and everything. Again, bittersweet but exciting tonight that we're here to see these teams off to the state championship.
I can't say it's the first time I've ever been accused of being a guru, but I will accept that guru title invitation here. But you're right. I mean, it feels like it's gone by in the blink of an eye, too. And it's been really neat this year to be able to get to know a lot of these coaches, get to know the stories of a lot of their players and a lot of their teams as the season's gone along. And it does feel weird that this is the last one, but we got to make it count, Joe Dewin. We got some big ones tonight.
We do. Let's start just down the road to Murfreesboro. Maryville and Oakland are playing for what seems like the 45th year in a row down there for the winner going to the state championship. This sets up in Oakland's favor tonight. It's a home game. Oakland's a better football team. But as we know in this game, Elijah, altogether, anything can happen.
Anything can happen, and tonight's almost like a rubber match until they meet again next year, of course. But this is the ninth straight year they've met, and in the last eight meetings, they are split 4-4. So, however, in those eight games, Oakland has a pretty dominant point differential. They've had some blowouts over the last couple of years, but I like Oakland with the edge tonight. I think the travel obviously is a big element to it on Maryville's side, but this is one of those games that is now becoming a yearly Black Friday tradition, one of my favorite New Yearly Black Friday traditions, and that's two of the best high school football programs in the history of the great state of Tennessee getting to meet on the day after Thanksgiving. So this is one of those games you can mark off every year, almost seemingly, you're playing for on Black Friday. So for the ninth year in a row, Joe Dubin, it's Maryville and Oakland for a trip to the Blue Cross Bowl.
Instead of watching consumers beat the snot out of each other at Opry Mills, we can watch these young men do it on the football field on a Friday night and enjoy it. I love it when we always like upset teams who make it, you know, teams that aren't expected to get there. But at the same time, you like to see the best take on the best, and that's what we got tonight in Maryville and Oakland.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, those few years where it was seemingly Alabama and Clemson for the college football national championship. Ugh. And it's like, well, there is that element of, oh, well, here we go again. But whenever the day of the game arrives, you're excited because those are the two best teams in the sport and the two best brands at the time in the sport. So while there is kind of that almost semi-nauseating factor of, well, they're going at it for the ninth straight year in the semifinals, it's, well, if I could pick any two high school football programs in the state to watch, it's Oakland and Maryville play each other because they always produce some really solid matchups.
Let's talk about our friends up in Sumner County Beach. Had to travel down to Memphis to take on Bartlett tonight. And I don't know a lot about Bartlett. We know a lot about Beach. Bartlett handled Brentwood pretty well. And Brentwood and Beach played in the regular season, didn't they? Did I miss this? I'll double check.
Say, Brentwood and Beach?
Yes.
Yes, I need to double check that as well.
I thought they did.
Yeah, I think they did play in the regular season.
But I think Beach is on a roll right now. Well, Bartlett handled Brentwood pretty well. So, but Beach had to travel down to Memphis tonight. But I just think we've seen that running game week after week. And if they get out and can control the first quarter, I think Beach wins tonight and heads to the state championship. They got to control the first quarter, though, Elijah.
Yeah, they got to control the first quarter, and they got to be able to capitalize on maybe some tired legs of Bartlett. Because in the last game where Beach handled Cane Ridge, surprisingly, 35-7, it was over basically by halftime, right? I mean, Beach was in control the entire game. Well, Bartlett had to win a thriller. I think the final score for their win over Germantown was 16-14. They had to win 16-14 in a game, which when Germantown and Bartlett played in the regular season was a 17-16 game. It's a very high emotion, very tough, very intense game. The emotional hangover for those games, it's very real, especially from on a week-to-week basis involving high schoolers. That can be a huge element that could lead to a letdown, even at home, especially against a team that is so physical. When you play Beach, you have to be prepared for everything on the line of scrimmage. And in those trenches, That's where Beach wins every single one of their games. And if you are not at 100% and you are not emotionally ready to handle what Beach gives you with their running game, then you can lose. They can easily drop that one. I think that there's any team that has the best shot at winning on the road tonight, it might be Beach.
They did play. Beach and Brentwood did play in the regular season. Yep. Beach beat Brentwood 27-6. Bartlett beat Brentwood 28-7. So they both beat them basically by the same score. So there's nothing we can take away from there. By the way, you're sounding a little cute tonight. You sound like Miley Cyrus tonight. You okay?
Being in different states where there's a 45 degree temperature change on a daily basis, not great for my sinuses. I feel like I have been banged against a brick wall. And
well, you sound adorable. You sound adorable. So
there's a lot of pressure. Oh, well, thank you. There's a lot of pressure in these games tonight, Joe, but just know that it pales in comparison to the pressure I'm feeling in my face. So,
all right, let's drop down to 5A. Come up at 6:15. We'll talk to John Davidson, part of the radio broadcasting crew at Henry County. Paige Henry County. I think we expected Henry County to be there. We kind of expected Paige or maybe Nolensville or maybe Mount Juliet with some team in that little pod to make it there. And Paige is the one that survived. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one heck of a ball game tonight.
Now, don't forget, I can't remember how many overtimes Paige and Henry County went to last year. And we need to ask John when we have him on in the next segment, because that was like one of the games of the year last year, right? In the same spot, 5A state semifinals, a battle of the Patriots. They go into multiple overtimes, and the game is in the 50s, and Paige escapes to be able to play Powell for the state title the very next week. So this is already kind of a rematch. I know teams are different from year to year, but these teams played an all-time classic last season, and I know very well that Henry County has been looking forward to getting back to this spot. It's been a collision course, them and the 5A semifinals, to get back to that spot and try to avenge that loss from last year. They're two evenly matched teams, and I honestly feel like these are the two best teams in 5A. They've kind of proved it for the entire season, and I think combined between them, they have three losses, and wow, by very, very few amounts of points. This is going to be, to me, the most evenly matched game of the night.
We'll drop down to 4A real quick. Our boys at Pearl Cone, travel to take on Haywood tonight. Haywood's a very good football team. Pearl Cone's a very good football team. Haywood's put up 67, 47, 64 points in the three playoff games. And Pearl Cone is going to be in for a dogfight tonight. But I like Pearl Cone. I like Coach Bernetti at Pearl Cone. I just think for some reason this might be their year. And, man, I hope they go down and kick Haywood's butt tonight.
I mean, so kind of the same similar thing with Henry County, right? We're talking about a revenge tour, and all season long with Pearl Cone, we've talked about the revenge tour. They only had two losses last season, and they both came to Tullahoma, one to end their season. It's been a revenge tour in that region. It's a revenge tour in all of the classification of 4A. This is the best team they've obviously played all season long. Haywood is a juggernaut. They have scored a lot of points this season. In the last few weeks, they've seemingly been unstoppable. So tonight it's definitely has that feel of a collision course game between two juggernaut high school football programs that are seemingly good every year, but this year specifically I think it's felt like Pearl Cone's year in 4A, but this could be the game that trips them up. So this is going to be an interesting one tonight. Is that one, don't have it in front of me right now, is that one in Haywood County?
Yes. Yep.
Tough drive. That's a tough road game. But if there's anything that Pearl Cone's proved this year, they've played really well on the road. So I don't know if that's going to be too much of a factor. They're physical. They're fast. And that usually does travel pretty well. So it does kind of feel like Pearl Cone might have a little bit of an edge, but that one's going to be another really close game.
Before we get to the break real quick, your thoughts tonight. Our friends at East Nashville travel also down to West Tennessee, down the Memphis area, to take on Covington tonight. That's a very good football team. Covington, 42-42, 24 points in the playoffs, very good defense. I just hope we talked to Coach Stewart at East Nashville. You know, the tough game against Waverly, tough game last week, Smith County. I think it's toughing this team up, Elijah, at East Nashville. I think it's exactly what Coach Stewart wanted, because tonight they're playing a very good Covington football team to head to the state championship.
They are, and it's one of those things, too, where you can clearly see where the light bulb's gone on with East Nashville, right? They started the last 2 weeks of the regular season. They had their first two losses. They stumbled a little bit, lost the region. First round of the playoffs, I mean, had to survive a scare from White House. And then seemingly in the last 2 weeks, it seems like the light bulb's gone off on the offensive line. There's a lot more cohesion. That offense is putting up a lot of points. They went from scoring 14 points against Smith County a few weeks ago to scoring 40 against them last week. They've seemingly found their groove back in doing things that have been key to their identity all season long. So when it finally seemed like they were running out of gas at the end of the year, or maybe that they might have peaked too early, they just turn around and score 40 on Smith County and win by a couple touchdowns. That is incredibly impressive. That is what makes this game so intriguing, because Covington's been very consistent all season long. I want to say they've won at least 10-plus straight games. Very consistent team. Nobody beats them frequently. So tonight's going to be a really good matchup. We'll see how well that passing attack and now the newly improved East Nashville offense looks on a quite a lengthy road trip.
I totally agree with you on that. I will come back and get the teams in Giles County and the other 3A team playing tonight, and the 2A and the 1A teams in just a little bit. We'll take our first break of the night. We're going to talk to John Davidson. Coming up at 6:30, we'll talk to one of the top recruits in the entire country, Marcel Reed from NBA. We're looking forward to having that young man on the show tonight. Then Cecil Joyce from the Tennessean will join us at 6:45. He's covering that Oakland-Maryville game. So we got you covered all night long with updates and great information right here on the Game Blitz. Brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. One of the biggest games, well, all the games are big, but in our area, let's head over to Paris, Tennessee, Henry County, where tonight Henry County hosts Page. A Battle of the Patriots is bringing John Davidson, who's part of the radio crew for Henry County. John, thanks for doing this, man. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's great. We just love being here Thanksgiving week. That's kind of the goal from the outset. We start back in the spring and then get to camp in July. Everybody wants to play Thanksgiving weekend. And we're fortunate enough to not only be playing, but we're hosting. So you can't beat that.
Oh, absolutely. Tell me about, you know, we always talk about the vibe, the atmosphere. You know, last week was a good one when you guys took on Springfield. What a great game that was. And now it's Page comes to town. You're one win away from the state championship. Is it a nervous atmosphere? Is it an anxious atmosphere? What do you have up there for us?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you look at last week, Springfield got out to a 13-0 lead, then 19-7. They landed three haymakers right to the Patriots' chin. And the Patriots didn't flinch, hung right in there, and were able to fight back before halftime and take the lead. Matter of fact, that halftime score ended up being the final score that game. Go back to Page last year. The Henry County Patriots led Page by 21 points three different times in the fourth quarter. Now, say that out loud. It sounded like something off of a Madden football on PlayStation or something. Three different times, Henry County led by 21 in the fourth quarter, still lost the football game in regulation. So if it could have gone wrong with 6 minutes to go in the game, it did. Two onside kicks, the Patriots laid one on the ground as well, and a fumble. So just one of those games you just wonder how it got out of our hands. But here Page come back and beat Nolensville for the in the rematch last week. So they're don't want to just say formidable opponent. They deserve to be here, just like they deserved to be here last year. So Henry County fought their way back here to get this rematch with Page, and they're just a little bit of nervousness, some excitement, some unfinished business, all that stuff rolled up into one, and that's the vibe you have here at Patriot Stadium tonight. It is a packed house. Just so you know, I think it was 176 tickets bought by local donors just to give away to students here tonight for those that may not have been able to come or going to come or whatever, but make sure they were here tonight just to cheer on the Henry County Patriots.
Talking to John Davidson from the Henry County Patriots radio team, And John, you mentioned that game with Page last year. It's hard to believe. For some reason, I thought that game went to overtime because the score was so high, right? It was in the 50s. But has there been much discussion amongst the team or even amongst the city itself or the community about that game? And has this kind of been a spot, the semifinals in 5A, that has kind of been a goal all year to get back to try to kind of avenge that loss?
Precisely, and they talked about it all year, and you know, you want to play whoever it is, right? You just want to make it and do your part, but something special about Page being on another side. Again, they could win by 30 tonight or whatever, but it's not because that Henry County had to work themselves to be here. I don't think that'll be the case tonight, but nonetheless, they've gotten what they really, really hope for in the back of their mind. It is a rematch of last year's semifinal game, and it's on our own field here, right in our own backyard. So, by the way, this is the third year in a row for Henry County to be in the semifinals. The last four out of the last five. you may think it for a non-Oakland, non-Maryville, non-Alcoa team, you know, we think that's a pretty big deal. Although that's not the first time that's happened. 06, 07, 08, Henry County had a three-season back-to-back semifinal trip. It went Hillsboro, Maplewood, Hillsboro. So all three of those guys were losses. So Maplewood was in double overtime. The Hillsboro beat us here 1 year, 14-7. In the final year, the Eric Gordon, Marcellus Teague show there, just down the road from you guys there by the Green Hills Mall, that was a 31-24 score. So, but again, those three-year semifinal streaks have not done the Patriots any favors, but I hope to end that tonight here with a win over Page.
And John, going back to the last year's game one more time, obviously these teams are different. The teams change year after year, but there's a lot of returners for Page, a lot of returners for Henry County this year, and a lot of them key contributors. Outside of the change in venue, this game being played in Paris tonight, what are a few of the things that Henry County needs to do defensively to kind of keep Page in check in a way they couldn't last year?
Well, first of all, you know, Page is a great football team, but they are short McNamara, who was a quarterback last year. About third quarter last year, they kind of scrapped their playbook. There was getting nothing done between the tackles against Henry County, and they went to more or less a backyard sandlot type offense, and you can't cover 7, 8, 10 seconds at a time and not hold and not have a pass interference or not complete the ball down the field. And that's what they were doing. Henry County was scoring first play nearly every time. There's nothing they could do to stop that rushing attack for Henry County. They had over 500 yards of rushing offense last year against Page. Cole Townsend, who graduated last year, had 351 yards on his own rushing during that football game. But the defense was winded. It was we lost our best tackler in Luke Jackson to an ankle injury there early in the second half, and that was a big difference there. And then, of course, one thing I hadn't mentioned that didn't want to throw any darts, but we had no clock there last year. We had no idea how much time there was, and you managed the game differently not knowing the time. And so that sounds like a little thing. It's a big thing when it gets to managing a game in the fourth quarter, especially as a team is charging a comeback. So anyway, the clock's working here tonight. So is the play clock, at least thus far. And we'll see what the outcome is tonight. But Henry County does know this. Page, as talented as they are not as physical as, say, Springfield or Beach. They'll beat you a different way, though. They can throw the ball down the field. They can finesse you, and they can lull you to sleep. And they can complete the ball down the field. And that's what Henry County's got to look for tonight on defense.
I'm talking to John Davidson, part of the broadcasting crew at Henry County. All right, John, let me ask you this. I'm the king of the awful and really dumb questions, but what do you think? The first two games of the playoff, you handled Dyer County pretty well. You took care of Portland pretty good. But for some reason, I like the fact that Springfield played you guys tough because I think you guys had to reach deep down to pull something out you haven't had to do in a long time. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. Like I told you, they landed some haymakers, I mean, right to the chin of Henry County right off the get-go. And we were like, where did this come from? Keep in mind, last year in the regular season, Springfield came here and beat us 6-3. And then Henry County goes to Springfield and beats them 20-0 late in November to get to the semifinals last year against Page. So we had not seen that out of Springfield, although a good football team. They went up 13-0 and then 19-7. This was early in the first half. This was still in the first quarter. They had a 19-7 lead over Henry County. We were like, uh-oh, our goose is cooked. But Henry County didn't flinch. They were able to get the ball back and scored, able to get the lead there in the second quarter. And then right before half was able to get the ball back and score again, making the score 27-19 at halftime, which ended up being the final score.
Right.
You're exactly right, Joe. That hole was deep to dig out of, and it wasn't necessarily that Henry County shooting himself in the foot. Springfield was here to play.
That's great. John, let me ask you this. Who's more excited about tonight's game, the football team or you?
Hey man, I don't know if excitement's the word. I've been nervous as a house cat all day. But so is the whole team. I mean, you've been around town all day. You know, Black Friday, you see the different shops. And by the way, I'll tell you this. You'll appreciate this. This may sound like Mayberry to you, but I think you'll appreciate it. I ate lunch with the mayor today. He's part of our normal crew on Friday football Friday lunches. And it says after a Henry County win tonight, the courthouse will close at noon Friday. He said there's some judges that come into the community, the whole court. I said, guys, y'all don't be scheduling court next week after 1 o'clock. It's not going to happen.
That's fantastic. I just thought you were meeting the mayor to get out of another speeding ticket. That's not the case, though.
He's handy for that, too.
Hey, John, man, no matter what happens, we appreciate you coming on the show. You're along. Like I said, Elijah's been on y'all's bandwagon before the season started. So thanks for everything, man. We appreciate the time and all this. It's been so much fun for us, man. So good luck tonight. And I would say break a leg, but don't. But just have a good time tonight.
Appreciate you guys. I wish you could see this atmosphere here. There, by the way, Paige has a great crowd over here. Henry County does too. It's going to be fun.
All right, appreciate John. Thanks, brother. That's John Davidson, part of the broadcasting crew at Henry County. And that's the only bad thing, Elijah, of doing this is that we miss that atmosphere. But on the other side, we get to tell people about what's going on out there and promote these games and these young men and coaches. So it's a win-win. I mean, we win in the end.
We do, and I love the story about the courthouse shutting down for a day so we could prepare for this game tonight. That is quintessential small-town Tennessee high school football. It's fantastic, Joe. And that is the only con, I guess, of this show is we don't get to be there to experience a lot of these. But, you know, we do get such great reports from reporters and coaches that we do get to kind of live vicariously through them. So
yeah,
it's the next best thing.
All right, I was going to tell you, we got it. Marcel Reed's coming up in the next segment. We got a few more minutes, so and we're going to get to the 2A and 1A game. But we already got a score. Our good buddy Rusty Ellis tweeted a score out. Tyner's up over York Institute 21-0 midway through the first quarter. So I told Rusty, Elijah, he ain't going back home. He's done. He's good for tonight.
I think he's probably seen everything he needs to for tonight. Great story York Institute has been this year, only to get to the state semifinals for the second time in school history is a pretty big accomplishment. And unfortunately for them, they just get to run into a buzzsaw at Chattanooga Tyner, who's done this to everyone this year. So kind of expected, kind of like knew it would happen. Small chance that York was even going to make it competitive just because Tyner is so good. Give them a really good chance to win state overall. I mean, that's a buzzsaw of a football team. But yeah, it'd be unfortunate to end your season in a blowout, but should at least be celebrating the year they had because it's one of the best in school history.
Well, that was our last connection, right? Your dad went to York, correct?
That's right. Frank Campbell Jr., a graduate of York Institute, 1978, class of 1978, I believe. But yeah, proud Dragon. He was really pumped with the win over Monterey last week. He told me all about it for Thanksgiving dinner. So I got a really good recap that we don't necessarily get all the time, you know, on our show. We get great recaps, but I get a nice biased recap from a fan. So that was nice.
That was our last Kevin, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon connection to the state championship. So who knows? They might come back and win the second half, but we'll, you know, never say never.
We still got Kenny. He's at East Nashville.
That's right. We do. Yeah. And I brought Kenny. Yeah. I brought Kenny in an East Nashville helmet tonight to wear when they win tonight. Yeah, so
it felt so good when I seen it.
It does.
Kenny, if they do it, you're putting it on.
He is.
I will.
All night, he's going to run through a window, too, with the helmet on. All right, we'll take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk to Marcel Reed, the great quarterback at NBA, who's headed to Ole Miss. It'll be a pleasure to have him on the show. And at 6:45, Cecil Joyce from the Tennessean, who's covering the Oakland-Maryville game, will join us there. Listen to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Hey, welcome back to the show. Tell that annoying voice to be quiet over there. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game. One of the pleasures we've had all year long is following the young man from NBA, Marcel Reed, and his just great senior season leading the Big Red back to the state championship. We're happy and honored to have Marcel Reed on the show tonight. Marcel, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Thanks for doing this tonight. Appreciate you. Hey, let me ask you this. Last year, you guys get to the state championship game. You lose. Is it still mad? Is it a bad feeling in you that you hope to get out of your system next week?
Honestly, I kind of put it behind me. It is a bad feeling. But, you know, we got a game coming up that's really important. So not really thinking too much about that. We got a whole different team and a whole different expectations, a different standard. So I think that we're just going to be focusing on Thursday, and that's what our goal is going to be this season.
Is it weird not having a game tonight?
It's a little weird. We've had a couple of weeks this week or a couple of weeks this year where we haven't had a game. You know, when we played that Thursday, we didn't have a game on a Friday. That was kind of weird. So I've kind of gotten used to it this season.
We go back. I want to take you back to week three. The game at McCauley, you guys are down late in that game. You lead your team on an 85, 90-yard drive, whatever it is, with not much time on the clock. What do you remember about that game, and what do you remember about that team? Because I've talked to people who watched that game, Marcel, and said that's when they just really understood how fantastic you are at being a quarterback. Take me back to that game and what you remember.
Well, I just remember I had a bad game at the beginning of that game, and we knew what we were trying to accomplish. We were trying to get the win. We were trying to get over the hump of McCauley. You know, they've been a roadblock in all of the games that we faced them in and a lot of the past seasons. So we really were just trying to focus on getting that win, keeping our momentum, staying undefeated. And then, you know, that drive, it was just you know, all the team came together. We knew we had to do defense, did their job. Offense came out, and we went down and scored. Practiced all week and prepared for everything that we put out there. And, I mean, executed it perfectly on that drive and scored.
Talking to Marcel Reed, the quarterback for the NBA Big Red and future Ole Miss Rebel. And Marcel, thanks for joining us. And we'll go ahead and fast forward to last week, right? Played against Macaulay, another really close game. You guys were able to win by one. How difficult is it to play a defense like that for the second straight time? And what does it say about you and your teammates that you were still able to execute and be able to pull out another close game against a really good team?
I mean, it was really tough. It's obviously hard to beat a team twice, and especially Macaulay. You know, they got a lot of great players, a lot of big players. So, I mean, we came out prepared. Coach Uvar drew something up a little bit different for the game plan, and we spread it out a little bit. So I think we kind of threw them off. You know, coming in that game, they probably expected to see the stuff that we did on week three, but we showed a little bit of difference, and we executed it all perfectly. So, I mean, we came out with the win, and I mean, we're just glad to be back in this championship against Baylor this week.
Mm-hmm. And, Marcel, one of my favorite things about you and your team is that there's been a lot of expectations all year long, and you play a gauntlet of a schedule week in, week out, and despite the toughness of the schedule and the expectations that have kind of been placed on you and your teammates, you guys have still been able to rattle off all of these wins. What does it say about your team and the preparation you guys do every week to be able to basically respond to everything every team's been able to throw at you this year?
It says a lot about our culture and a lot about this senior class that we have this year. Like I said, we have a really high standard, and we show it every day at practice. We go 110%, and I think all the young guys that are on the team know what's needed to be done. And I think that's what separates us from a lot of teams this year, especially. And I think that's what also separates us from, you know, just winning consistently. I think that the difference also is just that whenever offense isn't doing so well, defense is going to be clicking. Whenever the defense isn't doing so well, offense is going to be clicking. So I think we make up a lot for, you know, a lot of our mistakes. And I think that's what brings this team so close together and why we've been winning so much.
We're talking to Marcel Reed, the quarterback over at NBA, headed to Ole Miss to play football next year. Marcel, when you went back this past summer and made your commitment to Ole Miss, how much of a relief was that just to get it all off your chest and that way you could focus just on your senior year of football?
Really didn't think too much about a relief, but, you know, now that we're in season, it really was a big relief getting it off my chest because, you know, recruitment, it plays a lot of plays a big role in my life. And, you know, all that stress felt good to get off, you know, committing to one team, knowing where I'm going and being able to call it home and just be able to focus on my team all season. It's opened up a lot of opportunities for me just to, you know, be with my guys instead of, you know, going on too many visits this year. Cherishing my senior year and just having a great time on the football field.
How often do you talk to Coach Kiffin, or if at all, during the season?
We contact each other every 2 to 3 weeks probably. So, you know, he's busy. We're both busy. I mean, I have high school football, and he has college football that he has to worry about. Certain things going on right now. But, you know, we talk to each other just a little bit. I mean, I keep in touch with the rest of the coaching staff pretty often, though.
Marcel, last one for me. I know one of the coaches on your staff, Chris Sanders, likes to give us a hard time here on these airwaves, and good friend of mine. But how much does Chris bug you during practice, and what's it like getting to play for him on a weekly basis? That's one goofy dude.
Yeah, he doesn't bug me too much, but, I mean, Chris Sanders is just a fun guy to be around. He treats us like, I mean, we're his brother. I mean, it's like having another kid on the field. During practice, he keeps the fun going, and he keeps us all in check. You know, he makes sure our head's straight, makes sure that we never get too high, never get too low. And I think he's just a perfect person to have coaching receivers because our receivers do such a great job and just a great asset to have on the coaching staff.
Marcel, one before we let you go, and thank you for doing this, and tell your dad happy Thanksgiving. We thank the world of your father. This is about Ole Miss and what's going on there. How much are you paying attention? What's going on? The rumors, or you just put all that aside and say, "Look, I'll deal with that when I got to deal with it."
I'm putting it all aside, and I'm gonna have to deal with it when I have to deal with it. You know, I have a football game that I need to focus on for Thursday. I have a team that's way more important to focus on right now because I'm committed to them right now. I love NBA football. You know, whatever happens, happens. Coach Kiffin's a great person wherever he goes. I mean, best of luck to him. But, I mean, coaches say I'll probably end up staying at Ole Miss just because I love the place. I chose the school not only because of the coach, because of the community, the place, how close it is. I mean, it's SEC football and just, you know, being able to play for the Ole Miss Rebels.
Fantastic answer. Marcel, man, thank you for your time. Best of luck next week. We love Middle Tennessee football teams and the state championship. We're pulling for you guys. Bring home that football, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too as well. Marcel Reed, great tough. Quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he was such a good young man. Great family he comes from, too. And just, you know, Elijah, we watched the highlights this year of Marcel Reed. It's like, all right, are we really seeing this really happening? I mean, he's a guy that comes around like every 15, 20 years. I mean, you don't see Marcel Reeds every Friday night in high school football. The guy's amazing.
Absolutely not. And I think my favorite thing that I learned talking to him there was obviously we've seen the videos. We've seen, you know, the rollout passing plays, the athleticism, the arm strength that we've seen. But there is no better evidence that he is the son of a college football coach than that interview right there. He is a very focused individual, very team oriented, and he's all about the process. I think I really enjoyed kind of getting to talk to him about that. And getting to kind of learn what the headspace is like for moving on game after game, because they've had expectations all season long. We've talked with them every week because of him and right. because of how good their team was last year. And they're seemingly just they're doing what they're supposed to be doing on a week to week basis. And for those that maybe have never played high school football or any sport in general, that is so hard. It's so easy to have a slip up game. And right. as we've seen this year, even the best of teams like Oakland have had a slip up game. That happens in sports, and NBA has only had two close games all season long, and that was against Macaulay. Like the way they've been able to handle their schedule, to be able to do it with such regularity and professionalism, is my favorite part about that team, and it makes me feel pretty good about them going into that matchup against Baylor for all the marbles.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, it's such a great young man, and many thanks to his father who set that up for us. So thank you, Coach Reed. All right, let's take a break. The other side, we're going to bring in Absolutely. Cecil Joyce from the Tennessee and cover the big Oakland Maryville game tonight down in Murfreesboro. So he'll join us next. You're listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. Let's head down to Murfreesboro and bring in Cecil Joyce from the Tennessean, who is one of my favorite writers. If you're not following Cecil, you need to. He does a great job covering everything down there. Cecil, how are you, man? Thanks for doing this.
Good. Big Joe, thanks for having me on.
Do you just reboot your story from the last 6-7 years about Oakland and Maryville? It's like every year they're playing in this position, man.
Yeah, if there's any year they thought that this might not happen, this would have been the year. But guess what? We're here again, both teams. I just talked to Coach Hunt on the field, and he said, yeah, this hasn't been our typical year. But I said, but here you are. He goes, yep, we got here. I'm never more proud of these guys than I am right now.
What is, you know, we talked to coaches about the year, Cecil on our show, who've played Oakland and, you know, how they would want to stop them. They're like, you know, in the end, we just can't stop them. I mean, I know CPA put a good thumping on him, and that was a long time ago, and Kevin Creasy kind of liked the fact that his boys got their butt kicked because it woke him up. But can anybody – you can see this team. Can anybody stop them?
I don't think anybody can completely stop them. CPA, I think what they did to stop it had more to do with what CPA did on offense than what they did on defense. They just controlled the ball so long and held it. And that's the way to slow down Oakland's offense. If you want to hold Oakland to under 40 points, you know, you control the clock and own about 30, 35 minutes of the game. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
Talking to Cecil Joyce, and longtime cover of high school sports here in Tennessee, specifically in the Murfreesboro area. And Cecil, obviously, this is the 9th year, I believe, these two teams have met, 9th straight year.
That's
they
correct.
Have met in the semifinals. Where does this, I guess, non-traditional rivalry stand out to you in terms of best in the entire state? Because obviously they don't play every year scheduled wise. They're not scheduled to play every year, but they just do in the semifinals seemingly every year. But it's developed a little bit of a mini rivalry. But where does that rank, I guess, amongst some of the others here in the state, for those that aren't familiar with the frequency of these teams playing?
Well, if you want to go recent years, I mean, this might be the best rivalry in the state. And they did play two times in the regular season in 17 and 18. They regularly scheduled themselves, and then they split, you know, home and home. With that series, but you know, it's just these teams know each other about as well as Oakland and Blackman or Oakland and Riverdale know each other. I mean, Coach Hunt is very familiar with his team and Coach Creasy and his staff. You know, he's very familiar with me. He sees me, knows me by first name basis, and I only cover them one time a year, basically. So, you know, it's become a great rivalry. A lot of people in the past have said this will be a lot better state championship game than it would be a state semifinals game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've thought that for years too, that they're usually the best teams in 6A, and they always meet in the semis instead of obviously the championship because of this, the way the brackets roll out every year. But Cecil, I know you mentioned the key to maybe getting to Oakland, and that's a heavy maybe. That the word maybe does a lot of heavy lifting there. But do you think Maryville has a chance to be able to kind of keep away from Oakland the same way that, say, CPA did? I know this has been a Maryville team that isn't quite like the teams that have won all those state championships for all those years, but still a solid team. Do you see them having a pathway to being able to kind of play keep away from Oakland for a little bit and keeping themselves in this?
Well, they have a really good front line on the offense. That's really helped them this year. And even though their Mr. Football finalist running back is out for the year, Noah Vaughn, you know, they've replaced him with Gage Ledoux. And this guy's a lot more of a bruiser, a ground-and-pound type of back. So, you know, if they're front five, you know, if they're blocking well, you know, and they control the ball 6-7 minutes, you know, per drive, and then they can keep this a great game and possibly upset Oakland. The problem is if they let Oakland jump out 14 or 21 nothing on them real fast, they're going to have to go to the air game, and this is probably the worst air attack Maryville's had in the time I've been covering this rivalry.
What's the we're talking to Cecil Joyce from the Tennessean covering the Oakland-Maryville game tonight. What's the atmosphere tonight? Because I remember a few years ago Cecil was down there for a game, a state semifinal game, and there was like hardly any buzz. There was no crowd there, and I was kind of disappointed, and I was hoping that, you know, more would show up. And please tell me that more show up tonight and that the crowd's already kind of coming in there.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a full house. Maryville's filling up their side of the stands for sure. You expect that. And Oakland, you know, Oakland's crowds have not been great during the playoffs so far this year, but it looks like, you know, they've come out tonight for this one. I think a lot of times Oakland fans have gotten a little, I guess, entitled, and they just know that Oakland's going to be in the semis. We'll just wait till then to go see them. So, but tonight looks like they're piling in. The weather's been, you know, a lot more cooperative than it was last week as well, so that helps.
You know, how many fan bases love to hear that? Let's wait to the semifinals and go check them out. Let me ask you this, Cecil, down there. I know there's a lot of competition. You know, Rockville opening up now and might be a new high school in a few years. How has Oakland been able to maintain this kind of dominance the last 7-8 years?
And I preface this by saying this is no – offense to any of the other coaches in our area, because I believe Rutherford County is stacked with great coaches, you know, up and down the line. But the answer is Kevin Creasy, you know, pure and simple. I mean, he's the X factor. I mean, you look at, you know, rosters, and Oakland isn't always the most talented, physically talented team on the field when they're playing someone. I mean, I think Blackman probably was the most physically talented team we had in this county. But, you know, you just cannot get past that Kevin Creasy factor. I mean, he's a winner. The guy's won 57 straight at home. He hasn't lost to a Rutherford County team. He hasn't lost to a region team, you know. So, you know, I did an article on him this week. It's in the Tennessean and the Daily News Journal on Coach Creasy. And, you know, it's just I think he's the X factor.
You know, it's funny. It's so every team should run the wing tee, right? I mean, that's just that simple old wing tee has been around for 150 years and nobody can stop it.
Now, you just have to run it as well as he does. There's a big difference in running it and running it as well as he does.
He does a great job. All right, Cecil, I know you got to get to govern the game. Hey, thanks for your insight, man. We appreciate you. We'll be following your tweets all night long. Thanks, brother.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure thing. After the game, holler if you need to.
Will do. Cecil Joyce from the Tennessee. And I think, Elijah, we love great stories, great articles, great reporters. He is a vastly underrated reporter in Middleton, and I think in the state of Tennessee, for what he does.
Oh, absolutely. And I love how he can even give you the scouting report for Maryville. It's so hard in the state to be able to see a lot of the teams, you know, visually from the east and west part of the state if you're covering Middle Tennessee. So a lot of you're going by box scores, you're going by what you can find online, but you have a really good scouting report. I feel like I'm a lot more prepared now to be able to mentally picture what this game is going to be like between Oakland and Maryville. And he's a really good orator and a very good writer of the game. And He has mastered the high school football level here in the state, and he is a must follow for those who don't follow him on Twitter. I think it's Cecil_Joyce. I think. Let me go and pull that up real quick. I don't want to falsely plug his Twitter account. It is, yeah, Cecil_Joyce. I mean, yep. A fantastic follow. He's great with updates. He has great video. It is a must to pull you, you know, behind the scenes. It's a must for me during this show. We get a lot of updates from Cecil Joyce throughout game blitz on every Friday night. So big thanks to him. Actually, he is a, whether he knew it or not, he is a game blitz contributor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get paid for it, but my goodness, you get the best seats at Jimmy John's. And so that's all that matters.
Oh, that's right. A front row at Jimmy John's. You get to watch them make the food at Jimmy John's. How about that?
I got sad news is that your father's alma mater has already got a running clock on him. It's 33-0 Tyner Academy over York Institute. But hey, you know what? They got the semifinals.
They did. The slipper doesn't fit. I'm afraid the clock has struck midnight, and I'm afraid I'm out of Cinderella metaphors here to use for York. Just the same way they're almost out of time here against Tyner. But yeah, you're right. Great year. They don't have a ton of region championships in their school history, and this is only the second semifinal or second time ever they've been able to play past Thanksgiving in school history. So those kids are going to remember that for the rest of their lives. Like, they're rock stars in that town, and no matter how bad it ends up being, Tyner can put up 100 on them tonight. That's not going to change the status that they have in Jamestown, Tennessee. So unfortunate that it's going to go down that way, but I have a feeling Tyner can do this to maybe the Riverside or whoever they end up playing in the state championship, that we might have a similar result. Like, there's the two-way hierarchy was Chattanooga Tyner, everybody else.
Right.
Sometimes you just run into the bus on that's how the bracket lies, man. But if you're York Institute, a fantastic year, a historic year, and those kids will remember that forever.
I know you write college basketball. Who do you write for? You cover college basketball. Who do you write for again?
That's right. I write for Busting Brackets. It is a fan-sided website.
North Carolina just lost. I guess you just saw that.
It's about time. They have underperformed in every single game they have this year. They were not my top-ranked team coming into this this week. They were at the beginning of the year, and, of course, we have to submit our rankings every week. They were not this week. I had them at number two because they haven't looked like the best team in college basketball, and they finally played with fire long enough to get burnt, and they lost to an unranked Iowa State team and gave up 31 points to an individual player who I don't think has scored more than 20 in a game in his career. So North Carolina, a little underwhelming to start the year. So number one goes down in college basketball. Maybe it's an omen to the chaos we might have tonight. I don't know. Kind of feels like it.
Look, can you determine how good if teams going to be there in March, what they do in November?
Very difficult. Yeah, very rarely is the prognosticators right on that instance. Mostly the reason North Carolina got that number one spot to start the year is just because they brought a lot of players back. And in college basketball, if you can do that, you can convince a lot of people you're going to be good.
Well, the Tennessee Vols right now are up over Kansas 12-5 halfway through the first half. That's a pretty crazy score.
Wow. And holding Kansas, who's a really good offensive team, to 5 points halfway through the first half, that's remarkable. That'd be a big win. That'd almost make me forget about the Colorado debacle from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's correct. Did you go to that or did you cover that? Did you see? I guess, of course, you saw it, but the Tennessee was terrible that game.
I did cover that game, and it was an eyesore. And unfortunately, I had the Saints and Steelers game on at the same time, and there was no offense scored between all four of those teams that I was watching. I do not recommend that combination of sport in one sitting.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we will take another. Don't go anywhere because we got 5 more hours. We're going to throw in some other sports, too, as well tonight. But mainly, we're going to keep you up to date on what's happening with our Middle Tennessee teams playing in the state championship. We'll come back. We're going to have the scoreboard to get you set with everything that's happening tonight with the big games across the state of Tennessee. From 1 week right now, the state championships happened down at Chattanooga Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we'll get you set up for that as well. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and National Playmakers Academy.